So the first reason is because, as I said, I didn't really understand what Jesus was saying to us. Parts of it, yes. Other bits of it, no. And then, as I was preparing for this message, I read the passage again and again and again. I probably read it 25, 30 times in all different versions. And I came to understand through the Spirit the real reason I didn't like the passage. And to be honest, I was absolutely amazed that when John sent around a list of passages to speak of, that I actually chose it. I'm thinking, I don't like this passage. Why have I chose to speak on this? But the Lord clearly spoke to me through it. And what I didn't want to admit to myself was the reason I didn't like it was because it made me angry. I felt, whenever I read it, wound up. And the reason I felt wound up was because my Lord, my Saviour, the one whom I worshipped and adored, chose to wash the disciples' feet. And I felt that was below. That was above Jesus. He shouldn't be washing people's feet. And I think I felt more angry about it because I knew that I couldn't go out there and do that. So I used to feel comfortable by slipping it to one side, reading it, knowing about it, but having nothing to do with it. And I was convicted last night. And I had to repent of that. So, let's look at the passage. Now I'm going to be reading it from the ESV. As I said, I've read it in most versions. But this one I liked because it uses the words truly, truly. So let's read the passage first. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his outer garment, and taking a towel, wrapped it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do as I have just done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled: "He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. May the Lord bless his word to us. So, we see now, Stuart Reed last week had a big chunk to teach us on, and he brought to an end the portion of John's Gospel that related to his earthly ministry. Chapters 13 now through to 17 brings us to what I like to call the intimate part of John's Gospel, that revolves around the last night of Jesus' life. And it, to me, when I was reading it, Jesus knew that his hour had come. And he called together his disciples for a final meal. And it was an intimate but painful moment for Jesus. He knew that his time with them was coming to an end. And it came across to me that he was like a big brother that was unburdening his heart to his family and preparing them for the momentous events that were to take place. And if you read John's Gospel from 13 to 17, you'll see that it's all about relationships. That Jesus was trying to stress to them that he was about to leave them, but he wouldn't leave them as orphans. That he would send the Holy Spirit to be their guide and help. But he couldn't do that before he had died and was resurrected. Then he would send the Counselor. the one who would draw alongside them and lead them in truth. And if you read the next four chapters, you'll see that Jesus uses words such as, you know, as I have washed your feet, you ought to do the same for one another. Abide in me, I will come for you. Now, this section of John's Gospel revolves around the Greek word mone, which translates abiding place or a place for you. And if you, when we come to John's chapter 14, one of my favourite, and it's probably there in the top five, passages of Scripture where Jesus tells them that in my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go, I will come and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. And I find that so reassuring that death is not the end. That Jesus is preparing a place for you and for me. And we will spend eternity with him. And that's what he was relaying or trying to explain to his disciples. That within 24, 36 hours he would be gone, taken from them. But that wasn't the end. So what is Jesus saying to his disciples and to us? Well, at this moment in time, John now turns to the last day before Jesus dies. And he looks back in verse 1. And said that having loved his own, which was what he was doing, he loved them to the end. He knew what was going to come. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to be denied. And he knew that he was going to be deserted. And yet he loved them to the end. Who was Jesus loving? I used to think he was talking about the Israelites, the Jewish nation. But I now believe that he was loving those that were his. All through the Gospel of John, we've heard that the people were split into two camps, those who believed, those who didn't. And Jesus, I believe, was loving those who believed on him. Yes, he loved the whole world. John 3:16 tells us that he came because he loved the whole world. But this particular part of the passage is talking to those that were close to him. And I would say this to any of you today, if you belong to Jesus, take on board what he's saying now as being said and done to you. That he loved you, warts and all, and will love you to the end. So what does he do in these 20 verses? Well, he gives them an example. And it's an amazing example. He's telling them that he will be going in a roundabout way. But he's also telling them that they, the 12 as we take it, are called to be ambassadors or representatives of Jesus. To take what they have learnt, what they have seen him do, and to do the same. And this was where I used to struggle with it. Because as a new believer, and for many years, I understood, or I thought, that I had to go out and set up a bathtub in the car park and wash people's feet. I took it literally. And I knew I can't do that. I could wash my wife's feet. But that was about it. So I struggled with it. And I put it to one side. But that isn't what Jesus is saying. And that isn't what Jesus is showing as an example. He's saying to his disciples, you are my representatives. As the Father has sent me, I am going to send you. I'm not saying that you have to go into the marketplace and start washing people's feet. But I am saying that you must wash one another's feet. And that's what he's saying to us today. We are not called to go into the marketplace and wash people's feet. But we are called to go into the marketplace and represent Christ to those who do not know him. So when we see a poor beggar, a homeless person, someone that we know may not have eaten for a day, we have to feed them. When we know of somebody who is in hospital, who may not have had a visitor, we are called to be Jesus and visit that person. To hold that person's hand. To pray for that person. Or an old folks' home, where you know people may not get a visitor. If you choose to go and visit that person, then you are being Christ to that person. That's what Jesus is saying here. Do unto others as I have done unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. It's a high calling. But the one who was highest and is highest, came down and became low in humble service. And I'm sorry to say it, but that is what God is expecting of you or I. It's okay for us to stand at the front here, at the pulpit, preach the word, and then go home and say, I can't be bothered doing that. I am not greater than the messenger. Jesus came and told us what to do, and he was the highest. And if Jesus can come and do the lowliest of deeds, then I've got to go lower still. We have got to go lower still. Because that's what he's expecting of us. So who represents Jesus? And what are we ought to be like? That's us. We are called to be like Jesus. We are called to be salt and light. We are the ones that's called to go into the darkness and take Christ with us. Otherwise the truth ain't in us. What it says in verse 4. He rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Jesus did. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Can you get your head around that? The one who cast the stars into space, the one who was with the Father before the world was created, the one who is now seated at the right hand of the Father, the one who will judge us, girded his waist with a towel and washed his disciples' feet. I struggled with it, I must admit, as Peter did. So John is really clear here. Jesus is high. His rank is the highest. There is none above him. And yet he came and contradicted the world's understanding, turned it on its head, and decided to serve rather than to be served. But what about Judas? That was another thing that I struggled with. Judas, the one who was to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew this. And John's Gospel tells us that only one, Peter, objected to Jesus washing his feet. I find that hard to believe. Personally speaking, I believe that there must have been one or two others who probably felt uncomfortable with Jesus washing their feet. But John doesn't say that. He tells us about Peter. And I was wondering, as I was reading and studying, did Jesus wash Judas's feet? He must have done. He did. Because if he hadn't, then it would have stood out like a red rag to a bull to the others. And there would have been, why has Jesus omitted washing Judas's feet? Does Judas's feet smell more than ours? I believe Jesus washed the feet of Judas. And that, for me, screams amazing love, amazing grace, that here was a man who was about to betray him, but Jesus still washed his feet. I struggle to get my head around that. If that was any of us, you know, we know what we're to say. You can sling your hook. I ain't washing your feet if you're going to do that to me. Jesus intends us to do that. And then he goes on to say that as I have done to you, you now need to do to one another. And I feel I have to say this, but there are times when I am saddened by the church. Over the years, I've seen people leave our church because of something that has been said, or that something has been done, and there's been no washing of one another's feet. There's been no asking for forgiveness. Or, you know, that person has felt they've not been able to say, well, that what you said hurt me. So the best option is for me to leave. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. As you have seen me love you, you must now love one another. And we need to do more of that. We need to love one another more than we do. Otherwise, how are we ever going to be a shining light to the people out there? Now, I want to bring it back to verse 6. 6 to 11, the verse that probably everybody knows and everybody remembers. And this is the part where Peter objects to what Jesus wants to do. And if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would object the same. I know I would have. I know I would vehemently, as Peter did, say, "Lord, you are not washing my feet." But what does Jesus do with this objection? And for me, this is a deeper meaning that most of us will probably wash over. We'll read it and say, "Yeah, that was a nice little story. Okay, on to the next one." But what does Jesus say? Let's read it. Verses 6 to 11. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Then, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And then Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." Now that is a very, very powerful part of the story. And one that needs to, and the part that really needs to be looked at. Verse 8, "You shall never wash my feet." Now Jesus could have kept it simple. He could have said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you're going to mess up my little acted out lesson here. So please, be quiet and just go along with me." But he didn't. What did he say? He said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no share with me." And that was one of the bits that I could never fully understand what Jesus was saying to him. What does he mean, "You'll have no share with me"? What could be so important about a foot washing that if Peter didn't allow Jesus to do it, he'd have nothing to do with him? Most of us say, "It's only a foot washing. I don't want my feet washing." But it was more than just a foot washing. There's more to it than that. What Jesus was saying in a roundabout way was, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you are going to be in the same class as Judas. That's what Jesus was saying. Judas has got nothing to do with me. In 24 hours, he'll be dead. You will not be mine if you don't allow me to wash your feet. I was staggered. Wow! In that case, Lord, not just my feet, give me a bath. As you'd probably expect Peter to be and say. Jesus replied, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet. He is completely clean. And you, Peter, are clean. But not every one of you, not all of you are clean. Judas is not clean, but the 11 are." What does he mean, clean? What he's saying is, you are born again. And that's the crux of it. Those who believed in Jesus, the 11, were born again, spirit, well, they're not spirit filled at the moment, but they will go on to be. They have believed on Jesus. They will have eternal life. They will stand before the Father and they will be seen as Him as children of God. As we've been singing today. If all of you in this room believe on Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, then you are clean. You have been bathed, you have been washed, you have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that you need washing is your feet. What is Jesus referring to as washing of the feet? Well, we are all clean before God. We are all justified. We are all saved. We are going to heaven. But we still have sin. And that's what Jesus is saying. That's the picture that he's trying to put across to Peter here, John. Although we are saved, we still struggle with sin. And if we say, 1 John 1 verses 8 and 9, Ray will be able to say this off by heart. I would like you to. Well, I know he knows the second bit of it. But verse 1 John 1, 8 and 9 says this. If we say, we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is able and just and will purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the difference. Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you may be clean, but there is still sin in your life that he's dealing with. And daily, that's the same for us. If we confess our sin, he is able and just and will cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah! The light bulb came on. I love that passage now. That's one of my new favourites. Top 10. But if we keep on saying that we have no sin within us, then you've got to ask yourselves, are you born again? Because we should be saddened, even disgusted by the sins we commit if we say we belong to Christ. We've got to do something with it. We've got to go to Jesus for for our daily washing of feet. Only then can we go out into the marketplace as representatives of the living God. Only then. And that's why Jesus is stressing to the 11, do unto each other as I have done unto you. Treat one another as I have treated you. Don't think that you are above one another. If you are to be my representatives, you have to go low in humble service to one another and then into the wider world. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much that your words are life. I pray, Lord, that you will give us a new way of reading the Holy Scriptures. Reveal to us, Lord, new ways of gleaning wisdom and knowledge about you. Rather than just go to the Word and read it as a book, help us to pray before we start to read. And Holy Spirit, just come upon us in power and say, read this. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about being representatives of you and taking your life, your authority, your word, your salvation out into the marketplace. And above all, Holy Spirit, help us to love one another as you have loved us. We love you, Father God. We thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that Jesus has now returned to your bosom. But he sent us the blessed Holy Spirit that will lead us in all truth. And when you send us out, those who accept us not only receives you, Jesus, but receives the Father who sent you as well. So help us to come to you, Father God, to have our continual foot washing through Jesus and his precious blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So in finishing, I would just like to say to you that sometimes as we read the Word, we read it because we feel that's what we need to do. It's part of our walk with Christ. Yes, it is, and a very important part. But sometimes, and I remember John saying this many years ago, that part of learning and understanding the Word is taking out and looking for the nugget that's in the Scriptures. And what I've found helps me a lot is to pray before I start for the Lord to reveal something that he would want me to read. And then I would read it every day. For maybe a week, the same passage. Praying that the Lord will reveal something to me. And the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. And it's the main way that he speaks to us. So I encourage you. Ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you in different ways. Open the Bible up in a new way to you. Be blessed. Amen.